Now, if you're like me, then perhaps you have wondered why this lovely, friendly God who likes to wander around and spend time with his creations would tell them to eat anything they wanted except for the fruit of the tree that he put right in the middle of the garden. I mean, it seems a little bit masochistic, if you ask me. It's like, you know, dangling in front of a baby. And I've often thought it was really setting them up for failure, right? There it is. Don't touch it. I read something this week that asked, what if they were meant to eat the fruit from that tree? Just not yet. Well, that kind of blew my mind for a bit. I'd never thought of it before. And what an interesting question. What if Adam and Eve had been meant to gain the knowledge of good and evil, but instead of on their terms, on God's terms, in God's time, not their time? What would that mean? What would it mean if they had learned of their nakedness? Maybe they wouldn't have felt the shame. Would they have known if they did wrong, but run toward God for healing instead of hidden from God? So I've had something else floating around in my head lately too. And if you give me the minute to get you there, I think that it connects. So while I was away at camp, one of my colleagues had a really difficult funeral to do. So we were all sitting around talking, and another one of my colleagues quoted Karl Barth, who is a theologian, and he said that when people come to a funeral, the one question they have in mind is it true? Can God be trusted? Barth says that this question is magnified when it's a troublesome death. So it's therefore the pastor's job to try to help people in their grief to believe that God can be trusted, and that then it follows that God's promises can be trusted. Very kindly, Bart also points out that pastors only get one chance to do that, so no pressure for us. But as I've had these two ideas floating around in my head, what if Adam and Eve were supposed to eat that fruit, but not then, and this whole trusting God piece, it struck me that you could really argue that the serpent, the craftiest creature, was the first to call God's trustworthiness into question. Adam and Eve had a great relationship with God. They, up to this point, had no reason to question, not to trust. But the serpent encouraged it, planted that seed, right? Well, that's not true. God knows that that's not true. And in encouraging this question, this doubt, the fruit gets eaten. So, what if then God had intended to share this with them, the fruit, the knowledge, and they just needed to wait, to trust God to introduce it at the right time? I wonder what the world would look like now. I can't help but think that things would look a lot different if we trusted God all the time. So then as I wrote that, I thought, part of me thought, it's kind of useless to wonder about that. I mean, it's like wishing that a fairy tale was true, because it's not our reality. We live in a post-fall world, a post-fruit God-eating world, whether we like it or not. Which means that we live in a world where we do question God all the time. We also live with a lot of shame. Shame for eating the wrong thing, perhaps. Shame for looking the wrong way. Shame for knowing or not knowing the right things. Shame for this action. Shame for that distraction. And we live with a lot of broken relationships. Broken because one or both fell short of the expectations. And all of those things are described in this story. The shame, the broken relationships, the questioning. And so then I changed my mind, because even post-fall, I believe that the creation narratives show us how God intended to be in a relationship with people. So the wondering is worth it. Because in that story, we see that God wants to be close to us. God loves us. That God looked at what God had created and called it good. And then the story shows us our reality. So the picture is painted, and then the reality is shown. That the beauty and the ease, the rightness, indeed the goodness of it all, it got messed up. Somehow, the humans tried to take on something of God's role. They lost the trust and faltered. And that is a tough place to find oneself in. Now, it would be an even tougher place to be if the God who created them decided to give up on the creation. Fortunately for us, our God is a God who does not easily give up. In fact, the whole rest of the Hebrew scriptures, as we will examine them this fall, is evidence, story after story, of a God who tries again and again and again to rebuild and reform, indeed, recreate good and healthy relationship. And when we see that none of that quite accomplished everything that God wanted, God went further. In the end, in the next beginning, God sends Jesus, another human being, just like us, to help us to understand truly how much God loves us and still wants to be in relationship with us. Still. So if anything seems to be true, our God is relentless. And I believe that that can be trusted. I believe that even when we still hesitate, even when our faith falters, God can be trusted. And that is the good news. It is us who sway, us who stumble, not God. Our God is persistent and unyielding when it comes to God's creation. Our God will not leave us or let us alone. God loves us just too much to let go. And so then I think to myself, just like in Genesis. It is good. That is very good. So thanks be to God. Amen.